Jerry McNamara is off today for the big 4th of July weekend. Hope it was a great weekend for you. We are here on Ask the Law. 800-288-9227 with us live in studio for the Ask the Law for July 6, 2009. It is retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol, who has been hosting Ask the Law, taking your questions for years and years and years on this program, and we're proud of it. Ask the Law, public service of the Midnight Radio Network in Old Blue, USA. And remember, the information and answers to your questions are up to date, can change without notice. Statements, comments made by another person other than Trooper Monty Dial are considered to be opinions only. You can go to askthelaw.org. That's the website. And also, we want to let you know that there is a new 2009 logbook presentation at cdlsafety.org or askthelaw.org. Either one of those will get you there. Click on the big blue button that says 2009 logbook presentation from Old Blue USA. It's free, 80-page logbook presentation. It's been driver tested by Trooper Dial and Sergeant Jim at the Ask the Law seminars held last year. Two big truck shows, the Great West Truck Show last year and the Great American Truck Show. Overwhelming response. You guys had a great response at Great West Truck Show in Vegas this year as well. And don't forget, coming up next month, August, Ask the Law team will be there with troopers from the Texas Highway Patrol on hand at the Great American Trucking Show, August 20th through the 22nd. And you can go to safetytour.org to find out more. So, again, check it out. And we also want to say that TUNA, the Truck Writers of North America, has given a grant donation to Ask the Law, and that helps make this possible. So get out there and read all of these truck writers out there are great friends of mine. Most of them are great friends of mine. They've helped us out over the years, but they also help actually bring this information to you. So we want to thank them for that. Get out there, get those publications and read them. They're great publications, but those guys and gals are really great people and a great organization. They have actually even given the Ask the Law program awards over the years. So, Truck Writers of North America, we thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, we are hour two, Ask the Law, 800-288-9227. Bruce, Jeff, Mike. Now, Danny, you guys hold on. Danny had a question before the break, personal convenience. And this has been one of those questions that comes up, gosh, almost every time we do Ask the Law, personal conveyance. It would have been a little bit easier as far as the interpretation would be if Danny were bobtailing. Danny, yes. Danny was, for those just joining us, Danny is deadheading back to San Antonio and wanted to know, the money is out of his pocket, he is paying, and is this personal conveyance as far as his logbook is concerned? He technically is not under dispatch right now. Your point was that it really depends on the interpretation of the officer that is dealing with that situation at that moment. Is right. That right?
Yes. And mainly I was saying that is because he does have the trailer attached.
Right.
Obviously, if he was bobtailing, one of the examples in the interpretation talks about dropping a trailer at a yard or at a location and actually bobtailing to the house and then coming back to where you drop the trailer to start your load again. That scenario right there, Danny would never have a problem. He could log it off duty and go home. Mm. But because he has the trailer on, now it becomes a matter of each officer's discretion, his interpretation of personal conveyance.
Right. Okay. And Danny, thank you so much. We do appreciate the call. We're going to talk more also about this highway bill, which, if it passes, will require electronic onboard recorders on all commercial motor vehicles within 4 years of the enactment of this bill. Basically, the bill would require the transportation secretary to, within the first year of the enactment of that law, it would be law then,
to come up with a rule that would require all commercial vehicles to have electronic onboard recorders. We mentioned during a break that it looks like that they would be required to have GPS.
Yes.
They would have to be, these electronic onboard recorders would have to be GPS enabled.
Yes.
All right. We're going to talk more about this here in just a few minutes. I want to get to some questions and comments at 800-288-9227. Let's go to Colville, Washington, and Jeff is up next. Hi, Jeff. How are you?
Hey, I'm good. How are you guys doing?
Pretty good. You had a question, or you had a comment, rather, about some experience that you've had with electronic onboard recorders, and from your experience, some of the guys and gals using them after a while kind of got used to them and thought it was a good thing. Is that right?
Right. All drivers have resistance to change. I think we all have resistance to change, but we've required onboard computers since 1996. In fact, we satellited the first Zeta onboard computers and integrated them with our systems, and once the drivers got used to them, you know, they basically do their logs for them, they do all the paperwork, you still have to have the paperwork backup, you have to carry a log in case that onboard goes down, but overall, they're great. I mean, and the drivers really liked them, the company liked them. It also tracks mileage, it tracks a lot of things to keep maintenance up that you're required to do. And just overall, I think they're a good thing for both the drivers, the companies, and the public.
Well, and I'll tell you what the and Jeff, thank you for that call and that comment and your insight there. I think what we'll find is that. Oh, sorry about that. that's another question for you. What if life moved at no? Never mind. The overall effect, I believe, and this is the comments that you're hearing. In some cases, is that, and again, these aren't your opinions, but just comments by others that you're hearing, are this will level the playing field. In this case, we could see that even more than what the 2007 proposal would be, because this case, again, would be all across the board. Every truck would be required to have them. So you could make that argument, and you're hearing this from others. They're making this comment that it would level the playing field.
We have companies, and this goes back to when I was working with EPS, that I went out and did compliance reviews on, and they followed the regulations to the letter of the law.
Right.
And that was their intent. You know, we're a company. Our goal is to be 100% compliant. And you've got another company down the street from them that basically throws the rule book out the window, and it's just run and run and run and run.
Right.
And, you know, they question, well, why aren't you doing something to them? Mm-hmm. Well, we've been down there. We found problems. They have paid penalties.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, you know, their comeback is, well, they're still doing it.
Right.
Well, with the EOBRs, now then, it doesn't make a difference who you are.
Right.
The field will be leveled.
Right.
And everybody will have the same equal chance to make the same amount of money the guy down the street does.
And that's what it comes down to, is because these are some of the arguments that we have heard on the program from drivers who have said, look, I cannot make money unless I'm running illegally. Well, if everyone is on the same level playing field, then you're going to have the same amount of time within your hours. And this is the point when it comes to, you know, the application of the law in this case. You're going to have the exact same opportunity that anybody else has. You'll have the exact same amount of time during the day. Everybody, essentially, it would be the equivalence of everybody deciding right now to run legal no matter what. We're going to run legal. And this is why we've always preached on this program to run legal. Because, obviously, for safety reasons. But beyond that, it also promotes the health of the industry long term. I'm not one of these guys, and this is a comment that is strictly my opinion, I'm not one of these guys who likes these broad-based applications of the law because it's an expansion of government. But I think what we'll find is that ultimately, again, when everyone's playing on a level field here, the rates will go up. I think that will be one of the positive consequences out of this. Let's go to 69 in Michigan, and Mike is up next. Mike, you are on Ask the Law with Trooper Dial. Welcome.
Good morning, gentlemen. Appreciate your abundance of knowledge. I've got a question. I work for an electric utility.
Yes.
And we travel, you know, interstate quite often.
Mm-hmm.
Is this going to be something that we're going to implement? You know, we're in commercial vehicles, and, you know, how is this going to affect our you know, our travels?
Yeah, and this was a question that has come up in fact, we got a text message with the exact same question, Mike, and we thank you for that. We'll let you go. If you can listen to the radio, we'll give you the answer here. All right, Trooper Dial. Because it says all commercial vehicles, but will there be, does it depend on the weight of the vehicle?
If the vehicle is subject to the regulations. Now, one of the things that we don't know yet, and I was hoping I could ask Mike a question, currently under the existing regulations, if the vehicle is owned by a utility company,
right,
then they are exempt from hours of service.
Right.
So if you're a contractor,
You're not exempt.
Okay.
I did not know that.
Yes. So as an example, you know, you take what is it? Encore,
right,
is the
provider.
They're the ones that have all the transmission lines and
right,
everything for Texas Electric. Encore happens to be the ones that you're going to see in the truck going when a light pole goes down or a wire breaks,
right,
or whatever. They're the ones that are going to go out there. They're the actual utility company.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they have several contractors,
right,
that they subcontract jobs to.
Right.
Those contractors are subject to the hours, but not the company that Encore in this instance.
That's interesting. So in that case, then that contractor has to abide by hours of service rule. And now, this also depends on the weight of the vehicle?
Yes. Here again, the regulations are vehicles that cross the state line,
mm-hmm,
10,000, 1 pound or more, are subject to the DOT regulations.
Okay.
So basically, if you operate a one-ton dually,
right,
and you cross the state lines and you're either for hire or a private carrier,
yeah,
then these rules would apply to you.
Right.
That's what we think is going to happen.
Right. Again, we don't know. We haven't seen the final
proposed
rule.
Right. We haven't seen the final proposed rule, so we don't know if they're going to say only if you got to have the CDL.
Right.
We're not sure exactly where it's going to go.
That's interesting.
Yes.
Because, and then we had this question by text again, and that is, all right, what about, you know, these local delivery guys? What about this and that? So, again, it really depends on what the transportation secretary wants,
yes,
to put in this rule. And we don't know how much of that will be dependent on feedback. Again, we can only speculate at this point. All right, get on board right now. Bruce in Washington, hold on. Right after the break, we're going to get to your question for Trooper Dial. It is Ask the Law for July 6, 2009. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial from the Texas Highway Patrol is here, courtesy of Old Blue USA. Get on board right now, toll-free and nationwide at 800-288-9227. Midnight Radio Network. Eric Harley here. Gary McNamara is off. It is Ask the Law for July 6, 2009. Retired Senior Trooper Monty Dial, the Texas Highway Patrol, here courtesy of Old Blue USA. Comments made by anyone other than Trooper Dial on this program are considered to be opinion only. The information you hear is up to date as of July 6, 2009. Let's go to Bruce in Washington on 90. Bruce, you're up with Trooper Dial. Welcome.
Hi, I'm a long-haul driver for a cruise shuttle, and my question is, I know we're allowed 10 hours of drive time and 5 hours of wait time, but that's supposed to be changing.
You're talking about a motor coach driver, correct?
Correct.
No, nothing's changing for y'all.
On the federal level, there's nothing changing?
No. On the federal level, nothing is changing for motor coach drivers.
Are you aware of anything now? Do you operate only in Washington there, Bruce, or do you operate all over?
all over. I was just down in Texas a month ago.
Oh, okay. So nothing on the federal level is changing?
Nothing on the federal level for bus drivers is changing. You're still under the 10, the 15, and the 8. Let me repeat. Bus drivers are under the 10, the 15, and the 8.
Okay, great.
Okay. Well, good. I guess that's good news. Now, there had been, I guess you had heard a rumor that something may have been changing with you guys then, Bruce?
Yes, that they was going to bring us down to no more than 12 hours without 8 hours of off time.
Yeah. Well, unless that's strictly company policy, Trooper Dial is not aware of any changes here for on the federal hours of service rule change for you guys.
Okay. All right. That's great news.
Well, thank you so much. We do appreciate that. We had a question by text. Person is actually working to get their CDL right now. Where do they get the FMCSA handbook? How can they get one?
They can either purchase it from any of the company supplies, Label Master, J.J. Keller, ATA.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if OIDA has a location.
But many different places have.
Yeah, many of those have.
Okay.
Just if you have access to the Internet, get on the Internet and
check it out.
And just do a Google search.
All right, it's the Midnight Radio Network. Midnight Radio Network. How are you? Eric Harley here. I just thought I'd, greet you. Just like, hey, how are you? How are you doing? Huh? Doing good? Huh? You look great. 800-288-9227. Hondo, our producer, is shaking his head at me. It is Ask the Law for July 6, 2009. We do this every month, by the way. 800-288-9227. With us, retired senior trooper Monty Dial, the Texas Highway Patrol, and it's brought to you by Old Blue USA. Statements or comments made by other than Trooper Dial are opinions only. The information are up to date. The information and answers are up to date and can change without notice. We also want to remind you that Old Blue USA has a new 2009 logbook presentation. I feel like Steve Martin in The Jerk. The new logbook presentation is here. The new logbook. Never mind. CDLSafety.org for this logbook presentation, or you can also go to askthelaw.org. Click on the big blue button that says 2009 logbook presentation from Old Blue USA. It's free. 80 pages of greatness. It's driver tested by Trooper Dial and Sergeant Jim at the Ask the Law seminars held recently. In fact, over the last year, at Great West Truck Show and the Great American Trucking Show. Also, Ask the Law, the entire team is going to be there at the big Dallas Truck Show, which is the Great American Trucking Show, which happens August 22nd through the 20th through the 22nd. And you can go to safetytour.org, and find out more about the other Old Blue USA events. 800-288-9227 if you have an hours of service logbook question for Trooper Dial. Getting back to the highway bill and what this may present, we talked about electronic onboard recorders. The highway bill, if it's passed, and they're looking to try and get it passed by late September, if this is passed and becomes law, it would also require essentially a national drug testing clearinghouse database.
Drug and alcohol.
Right.
Database.
All right. So what does this mean? This means essentially if you test positive.
Or refuse. Yes.
That information that would say that you tested positive for drugs or alcohol or that you refused it would be put into this database.
Correct.
Some of the concerns that we got by text were, all right, what if a carrier just wants to put information in there, and it's kind of like a DAC report. The DAC report actually has a little more leeway. There are many different things that can go into your DAC report. This would be specifically for drug and alcohol testing.
Yes.
And or not, I guess, refusal to participate.
Yes. I kind of look at it when drivers ask questions or companies ask questions, I kind of refer it to the one that Texas already has in place.
Right.
Texas currently has a state law, which is, from what I understand, is going to mirror the federal. What happens is the medical review officer is the primary person that will send the data to the database. If the medical review officer fails to do so, then it falls on the shoulders of the motor carrier.
Mm.
Now, the only way the information can be placed in this database is with the report that the MRO sends back to the company,
right,
that says that the driver tested positive, and it gives a list of either the five banned substances or alcohol.
Right.
So, as well as what the level was.
Right.
So that goes to the, into the database, and obviously if the driver refuses, then the company has to send the paperwork in that says this driver was notified on such a date that he was supposed to go take either an alcohol or a drug test.
Right.
The only way that information can be obtained from this is through a release that the driver has to sign. And then once that signature is placed on that sheet, it is faxed to the database.
Hmm.
They will look in there to see whether or not your name is in the database. If it is, then they will report back, yes, the driver does have a positive alcohol or drug test, or the driver has refused a test. That's the information.
Okay. So now what if this person is simply an applicant and they are required to do a drug test as a part of the application process? Would that go into the database too?
Yes.
Okay. Any official drug test or alcohol test that's given, if it is a negative or a refusal, it will go into the database.
Positive. If it's a positive,
positive.
Yeah, a positive alcohol or a positive drug test, or a refusal, the driver's name goes in the database.
Yeah, and that's always confusing because the word positive should put a smile on your face. 800-288-9227. I've never failed one of those. If you fail a drug test, I guess that is a little more sometimes the terminology, and a stand-up comedian actually made that comment and said, I tested positive for a tumor. What? That does, no, you test positive for, no, it shouldn't be positive, it should be negative. But a negative, a positive drug test in trucking, obviously, and this is where we had a lot of concerns when we brought this up not too long ago, when we first talked about this situation, is for commercial motor vehicles, and a lot of drivers said, well, why aren't they, the comments came in, why aren't they testing all drivers, whether you're a commercial motor vehicle or not, and this is just the rule that's applied to
you. Yes.
So that's the rule that we live by, and who knows, maybe a legislator one day would change that and make it for anybody. Who knows? All right, 800-288-9227. 94 in Wisconsin is where we find Frankie this morning. Frankie, you are on Ask the Law. Good morning.
Hey, how you doing, man? I'm doing okay.
All right. Hey, welcome. You got a question for Trooper Dial?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. I just want to know what is the benefit that we, the truck drivers, we're going to get with these electronic devices. And the other thing is, my question is, the second one is about every time that the state or the federal regulations, they want to make a new law, if they look at the statistics, because everything supposed to be for safety.
Right.
Safety, right?
Right, to promote safety.
Okay, the thing is that the statistics says that 97% of the accidents on the United States roads are this is because the little cars, not the trucks.
Right.
You know, they ignore that.
Right.
You
well,
know,
and
I mean,
that's and you know, Frankie, and that's a real interesting question, and I'll comment here. And again, the comments that you hear on the program by anyone other than Trooper Dial are strictly opinion. But I think it's a really good question. A lot of drivers have asked this before, Frankie. We look at, and I've asked it before on our program for years. If they look at the statistics, in fact, truck-related fatalities dropped. The latest report that we got, a huge drop. It was double digits, in fact. And so, if we're making those improvements, why is it that we get tighter and tighter? You'll have what you'll have is lawmakers, Frankie, that will tell you, well, this is the we're making improvements. We want to make more improvements. That will be their answer to you. But as far as regulations with hours of service or any other item from the government, You're asking people in Washington to sit around and do nothing or to ease the rules and restrictions, and unfortunately, that's just simply not going to happen. If you look at it, yes, the numbers are improving, and I think they're improving beyond what the rules, the applied rules are doing. I think the fact that drivers are smarter, we've got better technology on the roads, we've got safer trucks on the road, and just overall safer drivers on the road. I think that is a certainly where the truck driving community is to be commended. But beyond that, again, people in Washington, frankly, have to have something to do.
Listen, my friend, you know what I feel, this is the truth. You can do anything you want, but the human being is the most important.
Yes, right.
If you have people behind this wheel,
right? Yes.
I think they have common sense.
Exactly. And you're absolutely right. As long as humans are involved, there will be room for some error. And you're right. And thank you. We appreciate that, Frankie, as we go to a break. But I think that's pretty much what you're getting to is that there's always going to be room for error. Electronic onboard recorders will limit that room for error when it comes to going beyond what the law allows. A lot of people run off the books and want to run illegally. You ask about the benefits of electronic onboard recorders, your first question there, Frankie, and I think we, again, have to go back to a level playing field. Not that I'm a person who supports broad laws that are applied to, everyone regardless as far as this type of implementation of policy. I supported the 2007 proposal, but nonetheless, if you look at it, within 4 years of the enactment of this highway bill, once it becomes law, every truck, every commercial motor vehicle would have electronic onboard recorders. And again, that brings us to a more level playing field. What the benefit would be there is that there would be a likely an increase in rates. We'll see if that happens. Only time will tell. And we thank you for your call. It is Ask the Law. We're back with Trooper Dial in just a moment. If you have a question in our remaining moments, get on board now at 800-288-9227. July 6, 2009, retired senior trooper Monty Dial of the Texas Highway Patrol. Dallas is where Chuck is this morning. Chuck, we got about a minute. You got a quick question for Trooper Dial.
Yes, I got a speeding ticket the other day. I had a Class A CDL. I was using it for driving over the road. Now I'm a firefighter. I got a ticket the other day. I was speeding, and I want to do defensive driving. I don't use my CDL anymore to drive a commercial vehicle. I drive fire engines now. Yeah. Is there any way I can get out of to do the defensive driving instead of having to pay the ticket?
No. In other words, no. you're asking, will defensive driving save this from being on your record? Is that
no.
I guess that doesn't. Yeah, it will
no,
not.
No. The fact is, because he currently has a CDL.
Yeah.
The courts are prohibited from masking any type of conviction.
Mm.
Irregardless of whether you use it or not.
Wow.
It's
Wish we had better news for him there. Thank you so much. Hey, the information and answers are up to date this morning as of July 6, 2009. Can change without notice. And thanks to R.J. Taylor and Old Blue USA. Go to Old Blue USA or askthelaw.org, actually. That's a lot simpler. Askthelaw.org. Trooper Dial will do it again in August.
Yes.
Gearing up for GATS. Thank you so much. It's the Midnight Radio Network.